Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some stories begin with fear, others begin with doubt. This one begins with both. He swears he wasn't looking for ghosts. He doesn't even believe in them, not really. He calls himself an atheist, the kind of man who wants evidence, not faith. But evidence has a funny way of showing up when you stop wanting it. For years, he'd brushed off the small things, objects shifting, where he hadn't left them. Faint voices that sounded like someone calling his name. The sudden chill that slipped through a warm room. He'd grown up in houses that creaked and families that didn't talk about what they saw. If it didn't hurt him, he didn't see a reason to care. But the first sign that something was different came when he was just a kid. 10. Maybe 11. He had a dog then, a quiet little mutt that followed him everywhere. Sometimes she'd stop in his doorway and stare at nothing, the fur along her back rising, her body stiff. Then the air in the room would drop 10 degrees in seconds. She'd tuck her tail, whimper, and bolt down the hall. He'd call after her, laugh it off, and pretend he wasn't shivering. One night, his brother and he were asleep in their bunk beds when a voice cut through the dark, a low command, calm and familiar. "Get up," sounded like their father. Both boys stirred, blinked at each other, the sound still echoing in their ears. "Did Dad just tell us to get up?" his brother whispered. Before either of them could answer, the television flicked on by itself. The screen glowed blue. The remote sat untouched on top of the set, well out of reach. "Turn it off," he said automatically, and the TV went dark. They ran to their parents' room. Both Mom and Dad were sound asleep. Little things like that happened sometimes, but never enough to make him stay up nights wondering why. He decided early on that ghosts belong to other people's stories, not his. But the universe has a way of testing the limits of disbelief. Started again years later, after a funeral. His great-grandparents had passed away, and the family gathered to say goodbye. At the reception, amid the condolences and the stale coffee and the smell of flowers, he met a cousin he hadn't seen since the day she was born, a girl 14 years younger, her birthday just 4 days apart from his. They took a picture together, awkward smiles, distant relatives reunited. He figured that would be it. But somehow they kept talking. Something about her felt familiar in a way that didn't make sense. He wasn't the kind of man who formed attachments easily. He'd never been close with anyone. Not his parents, not his siblings, not even his wife at first. But with this cousin, it was different. It was as if they'd known each other for years, as if a thread he didn't know existed had been pulled tight between them. For months, they talked almost every day. Then she started confiding in him about strange things that were happening, things that echoed the whispers of his own childhood. She'd feel hands grab her unseen or fingers tugging her hair. She'd be pushed, tripped, yanked from behind when no one was near. At night, she'd hear a voice, never clear, always just out of reach, as if someone were whispering through a wall. He noticed that when they were together, she seemed uneasy, distracted. Sometimes she'd trail off mid-sentence, staring past him as if listening to something he couldn't hear. He'd ask what was wrong, but she'd shake her head, embarrassed. He thought it was stress. She'd had a rough home life, a lot on her shoulders for a 14-year-old. When she stayed over at his house for a few days, he tried to make her feel safe. One night, they were sitting in the living room talking when she went quiet again. Her face went pale, her eyes glassy. "What's wrong?" he asked. She just shook her head. He didn't press her. He figured she'd talk when she was ready. The next morning, he noticed a red mark on her neck, faint but distinct, like a handprint. She said she didn't know where it came from. He didn't push the issue. Kids bruise easily, he told himself. A few days later, she finally admitted what she'd been feeling, that she thought something was haunting her, that it had been happening for years, that she'd wake in the middle of the night feeling like someone was lying beside her, breathing. He wanted to comfort her, but something inside him recognized the rhythm of her fear. It sounded too familiar. He didn't know it yet, but the haunting wasn't hers alone. It was about to step into his home, too. That night after he drove his cousin back to her mother's house, the first strange thing happened. His one-year-old daughter woke crying around 3 a.m. His wife heard her over the baby monitor and got up to check. She paused outside the nursery door. Inside, she thought she heard a voice. Soft, almost conversational. When she opened the door, their daughter was standing in her crib looking around as if someone had just left. The baby was babbling, gesturing toward the empty air. His wife soothed her, laid her back down, and returned to bed. She'd just fallen asleep when she felt the mattress shift beside her. The slow, sinking pressure of someone sitting down. We've all felt that weight. The familiar dip when a child climbs in for comfort. She smiled sleepily, expecting to see her 4-year-old son. But when she looked, the space was empty. The memory foam mattress still held the imprint of a small body, knees bent, weight settled, but the room was silent. She went to check her son's room. He was asleep, undisturbed. When she came back, her own outline on the mattress had smoothed out, but the smaller imprint remained as if someone invisible were still sitting there. Slowly, before her eyes, the depression began to fade until the sheets lay flat again. She didn't sleep the rest of the night. By the next morning, neither of them wanted to talk about what had happened. His wife brushed it off with a nervous laugh. "I must have been half dreaming." He didn't press her. But later, when he changed the sheets, he found himself pausing, running a hand over the spot where she'd said the indentation had been. The mattress was smooth, untouched. Still, something about the room felt charged, as if someone had just left, or worse, was still there waiting. He tried to ignore it, tried to write it off as stress, fatigue, coincidence. But later that week, his cousin messaged him online. It was mid-morning, and he was scrolling through work emails when the notification popped up. Her message was short, typed in a rush. "I woke up with scratches all over my leg and side. They burn. I don't know what's going on." He felt the bottom drop out of his stomach. Within an hour, he was in his car, heading to her house. He found her sitting on her bed, pale and trembling, wearing shorts that revealed a series of long, raw scratches running up her inner thigh and across her hip, too high, too precise for her to have done it accidentally. They looked like fingernail marks, deep enough to sting, but not enough to bleed. "Maybe the cat," he started, but she cut him off. "We don't have a cat." He looked around her room. The bed was neatly made. The sheets were new. No loose springs, no rough edges. No reason for wounds like that to exist. "Did this happen last night?" he asked. She nodded. "I felt something. Like someone grabbing me." From behind, her voice broke, "but I was alone." He wanted to tell her it wasn't real, that it was just a dream, a muscle spasm, a trick of the mind. But he'd seen the marks. He'd seen fear like that before. The kind that doesn't fade when the lights come on. That night back home, he couldn't stop replaying it. The scratches. The voice his wife had heard in the nursery. The cold air that seemed to hang heavier with each passing day. He'd never believed in demons or spirits or anything beyond what could be measured. But belief, he realized, doesn't always matter. Some things show up whether you believe in them or not. He began searching online for explanations. Medical, psychological, paranormal, anything. He found stories that sounded disturbingly familiar. Victims waking with bruises and scratches in the same places, describing the same suffocating presence at night. Some said it was sleep paralysis, others said it was something much older. A word appeared over and over again, incubus. He'd heard it before, buried somewhere in the back of his memory. A demon said to attack in the night, feeding on fear and energy, leaving physical marks behind. It sounded ridiculous, the stuff of folklore. But folklore doesn't leave fingerprints. He read deeper. According to old legends, an incubus doesn't just attach to a single person. Sometimes it moves between family members, following bloodlines, exploiting emotional bonds. And that was when something in him shifted. He began thinking about his cousin again. The instant connection they'd shared, the way she seemed almost familiar before they'd even spoken. How he'd always felt a strange pull toward her. An unspoken understanding. What if that wasn't coincidence? What if something older, something unseen, had tied them together long before they met again? He couldn't shake the thought that maybe their reunion had stirred something that had been dormant for years, something that recognized them both. In the days that followed, the activity grew stranger. His wife started hearing movement in the hallway after midnight, the soft padding of footsteps that stopped whenever she looked. Toys from the children's rooms would roll into the living room on their own, spinning to a stop. Once the baby monitor crackled to life and she swore she heard a woman's voice humming a lullaby, though the nursery was empty. When he walked into the room to check, the air was icy. His daughter was sleeping peacefully, her small hand clenched around something invisible. He told himself there had to be a rational answer. He was tired. They all were. Stress can do strange things to a person's mind, create patterns out of noise, meaning out of coincidence. But deep down, something cold and heavy was taking root. He didn't tell his cousin what was happening at home. He didn't want to feed her fear, but she knew anyway. "I think it's following you too," she said one night over the phone. Her voice was hollow, stripped of hope. "When I left your house, it felt lighter for a little while. But I can still feel it watching me." He wanted to tell her it wasn't true, that distance meant safety, that it was just her imagination. But when he looked at the baby monitor beside his bed and saw the static flicker across the screen, his throat went dry. The monitor was off. The screen should have been dark. He reached out to touch it, and just before his finger met the button, a faint sound slipped through the speaker. A whisper. It was only one word. Quiet and unmistakable. His name. The whispering came again the next night, and he'd unplugged the baby monitor, set it in a drawer, tried to convince himself it had just been interference. But around 3 a.m., the same hour it always seemed to start, a faint hum filled the house, like static, low, and pulsing. His wife stirred beside him, half asleep. "Do you hear that?" she mumbled. He did. And it wasn't coming from the walls, it was coming from downstairs. He moved through the house slowly, each step cautious, deliberate. The air grew colder the closer he got to the living room. The silence wasn't empty. It had weight, like being underwater, the kind of quiet that feels alive. The baby monitor was sitting on the coffee table, plugged in, turned on. The small green light blinked steadily, picking up something he couldn't hear. Until it did. A soft, rhythmic sound, breathing. He leaned closer. "Stop it," he whispered to himself. "It's just feedback." Then the breathing turned into words, garbled, low, not in English. He jerked back, heart pounding, and the monitor went dead. When he went upstairs, his wife was sitting up in bed, clutching her blanket. "I thought you were behind me," she said. "I felt the bed move again." but he hadn't been anywhere near her. That night, they barely slept. Every creak sounded like footsteps, every flicker of light like a presence moving through the room. At one point, he caught sight of their reflection in the dark window, his wife sitting beside him. But there was something else behind them, faint, like a third shape leaning in. When he blinked, it was gone. He tried to rationalize it all. Electrical faults, sleep deprivation, grief. It made sense that the mind might project meaning onto noise after losing family, after reconnecting with old bloodlines. But the next morning, when his cousin sent another message, the last pieces of denial began to crumble. "It's happening again," she wrote. "I woke up to someone whispering in my ear. When I opened my eyes, something was on top of me." He asked her what she meant, but she didn't respond for almost 10 minutes. When her next message came through, it was a photo, a blurry shot of her shoulder and neck, marked with fresh purple bruises in the shape of fingers. That night, he couldn't shake the feeling that whatever had attached itself to her had found him too. Or maybe it had always been there, moving between them, feeding, waiting. He spent hours researching again, digging through forums, reading first-person accounts. Most of them were hopelessly sensationalized, but a few felt too close for comfort. Cases where people shared blood or trauma and seemed to attract the same thing, the same entity. One article claimed the incubus often preyed on families fractured by loss and as if emotional pain opened some kind of doorway. He thought about the funeral, the way he and his cousin had reconnected, the way their bond had felt immediate, unnatural. What if that bond wasn't connection at all? What if it was invitation? He went to bed with a sense of dread that felt bone deep. Around midnight, he woke to a weight pressing on his chest. Not hard enough to hurt, but enough to make breathing a conscious effort. His arms wouldn't move. His throat tightened. He wanted to shout, but no sound came out. A shadow hovered above him, darker than the dark around it, its edges shifting like smoke. He could feel it studying him. And then, just as quickly as it appeared, it was gone. The pressure lifted. He sat up, gasping. His wife was still asleep, untouched. He turned on the lamp, his hands shaking. That was the moment he stopped pretending. He still didn't believe in demons. But he believed in the unexplainable, in whatever lived in that liminal space between dream and waking, faith and reason. And he believed something had followed them from that funeral, something that had been waiting for a crack in the armor. The next day he called his cousin. "You need to stay somewhere else for a while," he said. "With friends? Anyone? Just get out of your house." She agreed, though her voice sounded tired, hollow. "It won't matter," she said. "It always finds me." He wanted to argue, to promise her safety, but deep down he knew she was right. Whatever this was, it wasn't bound by walls. That evening, as the sun went down, he walked through his house with the lights off, trying to listen, really listen. The refrigerator hummed. The air conditioner clicked. The soft ticking of the thermostat filled the gaps between his heartbeat. And beneath all of it, just for a moment, he thought he heard something else. A whisper, faint and feminine, calling his name. He froze. The voice wasn't coming from the baby monitor this time. It was coming from behind him. He turned, nothing. But the air was cold again. He wanted to call out, but his throat locked tight, and then, for a fraction of a second, he saw it, reflected in the black of the television screen, a figure standing behind him, just over his shoulder, human-shaped, featureless, watching. When he spun around, the room was empty. That was the last night he slept in that house. So he didn't tell his cousin goodbye, didn't try to explain it to his wife, who'd already begun refusing to talk about any of it. He just packed up the kids, moved in temporarily with his parents, and left the house dark and silent. He told himself it was just until they figured things out. Maybe sell the place, maybe cleanse it, maybe just start over. But the night before they left, as he stood in the doorway of his daughter's room, something small and white caught his eye. The baby monitor. It had been unplugged, stored away. He was sure of it. But there it sat on the dresser, the green light blinking slowly, rhythmically, almost like a heartbeat. He unplugged it again and threw it in the trash. Even now, months later, he swears he sometimes hears the faint crackle of static through the walls at night, like a signal reaching from somewhere just out of sight. He doesn't know if it's real or if his mind is replaying what it can't explain, and he still calls himself a skeptic, still says he doesn't believe in demons or the afterlife. But there's one thing he's certain of. Disbelief doesn't protect you. Whatever this is, whatever followed them, it doesn't care what you believe. And sometimes late at night when the house is quiet and his phone lights up with a new message from his cousin, he hesitates before opening it because he already knows what it'll say. It's happening again. And just like that, the connection hums back to life. Two people bound by blood, by grief, by something much older than either of them understand. Whatever this is, it isn't finished. And deep down, he's not sure it ever will be.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT. Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT. Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.